But on the way over to Owerri, there was actually a new family that we managed to get in contact with. We've been in contact with them for several months over the internet, and also they were able to do the correspondence course. And we're able to see them for the first time. It's somebody who has never had any link at all with the Worldwide Church of God or any of the splinter groups, and yet he saw the internet, the website, he read much that we have on the website, and in doing the correspondence course and going back over the correspondence course, the 32 lesson correspondence course, he became convinced that this is the truth that he's discovered. Obviously, God must have opened his mind for that to be the case. And we're hoping to see him on the way back. In Lagos, when we were coming over, we were able to meet together and actually had a Bible study in the middle of the airport itself. There was a kind of a little round table. We were all gathered around there going into things such as the resurrection was not on Sunday, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and areas like this, which was very interesting. But as I say, we've rearranged our plans slightly so that we can go back a day early and go and visit them. There's about 10 people altogether in the family. Now, I'm not sure whether they will be with you at all for the feast. It may be this year that they don't, that they stay in their own area and perhaps keep the feast themselves, because obviously it's early days. But there is a possibility that they may want to come to the feast, and I've certainly made arrangements at this end to make sure that there's provision for them should they want to do so. And what I want to do today is I want to stress something for every single one of us here. And it's not just here in Owerri, in Nigeria, but across the world as well, wherever we happen to be meeting together at this time. It is absolutely vital that our example, it's a critical thing. Our example, particularly when we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, it is something which is critical, and God has a great deal to say to us. So in the sermonette time today, I just want to examine a couple of scriptures in regard to this subject of our example, and particularly our example as we approach the feast, but our example generally, our example to our neighbors, our example to our friends, to our families, because there are two areas that I want to deal with today in the sermonette that have a great deal to say to us from God himself about our example. And those two areas really is that we need to remember who our example represents, who our example represents. And secondly, who is actually being affected by our example? Who, if these new people are to come that we met in Lagos, if they came over here to Owerri for the feast, who are they that you will be actually affecting by your example? The example of our children, the example of ourselves and our families. So let's have a look at this subject first of all about who our example should actually represent. Who is it that we represent? Now the name that we have and the name that we find in Scripture throughout the book of Acts is the Church of God. It is God's church. And therefore the example is the example of the people of God, the actual church, the assembly, the called out ones of God. And I noticed one time, you may think that your example doesn't have an enormous amount to say, but you know, there was a particular time, not very long ago, when there was we were sitting down for some drinks with ourselves and one or two church members, people that have attended, and some other people outside that had not attended, not had anything to do with the church at all. And this particular time, this individual, and he was African, he said, "Ah, ladies first." So he went around and he actually went ahead and served the ladies first before he served the men in the group. And the other person, the lady, was there, who had nothing to do at all with the church, completely separate from the church, but knew this individual quite well, says, "He hasn't learned that here. He didn't learn this in Nigeria. He learned this from you." Because in Nigeria, that doesn't tend to be the case. But the example was actually noticed. It was picked up at that time by this particular individual, as I say, nothing to do with the church, and she immediately equated the two. equated what the church teaches, what the church stands for, and what in fact was actually happening at that time. And you'll find this is true generally. When we get on our knees and we pray Our Father, we are praying to our Father. And therefore, if God is our Father, we are His children, and we are representing God as His children. And you know, if your children go out and represent you as to a friend's home somewhere, how do you feel if they misrepresent you? What happens to the children when they come back if you find out they've been misbehaving? It's the same with us. We represent our Father. And if we turn over to John chapter 14, the first scripture I want to turn to. I just want to turn to two scriptures in the sermonette. But John chapter 14, we just turn here first of all, and just notice that here in John 14, it says in verse 7, it says, "If you've known me, you'll have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, it suffices us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? If he that has seen me has seen the Father, how are you saying, therefore, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? And the words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Now, you know, our training is in our children. And when our children go, they're ambassadors for us, for our families. And when we go into the presence of other people, we should be ambassadors for the family of God, for the kingdom of God. So we're looking at a situation. Now, we're not looking at the same individual. The Father and the Son are not the same individual. It's very clear that Christ prayed, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." There are two wills. If you've got two wills, you've got two separate individuals. And the sense of being one, remember he says over in John chapter 17, when the last prayer that he made, he said that they may, talking about the church, that they may be one even as we are. Now we aren't all one, we're all not all glued together, but we're all one of mind, all one of the way in which we think. And Christ here says, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What should happen is that we also should be able to say to somebody, look, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus Christ. Can we? Can we really say that? If you've seen me, you've seen my elder brother. You know my elder brother, Jesus Christ? That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. You know my Father? That's what we're saying. And at the feast, when we're collectively together, that's what we say. So if some new people come in, they should be able to say, look at that, and look at, if somebody comes into the Sabbath services, they should be able to say, look, these are the people of God. This is God's church. And they should be able to see that reflected in us. So as far as who we actually represent, we need to keep that in mind a great deal. Particularly, as I say, at the feast. But we also need to remember who it is that is being affected by the example that we have. If there are new people here within the church, if we are going to find that there are new people at the feast. Now, I'm not going to be here, not in person. It's going to be down to you. It's going to be down to you. And I say this also across the internet to the people that will be going to Kentucky, to the people who are going to be going to Mindanao in the Philippines, the other areas that we have or over in Uganda. All these areas are going to have to make sure that if people come in, that we understand who these people are. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Because again, Jesus Christ has something to say to us about this, to make sure that we remember what is said here in Matthew chapter 18. And it says in the verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples to Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who's the greatest in the actual family of God? "And Jesus called a little child to him, and he set him in the midst of them, and he said, Unless you become converted, changed, and become as little children, you won't even be in the kingdom of heaven. You won't actually be there. You can't represent this, your Father. We have to be as the children of our Father. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever will receive such a little child in my name receives me. But whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, notice, now the people that we saw over in Lagos, they are coming in, you know, as far as I can tell, they are understanding the things that they are being taught. They are only very little ones in the church. They understand a little bit, but their minds seem to be being opened. And it says here, it says, but whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone's hanged round his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of Agucha Lake. So, you know, wherever he might be, you know, if you remember we went on that canoe trip across Agucha Lake? Well, okay, tie a millstone round your neck, throw yourself overboard, and that's what he's saying. So it says, woe unto the world because of offences, for it must be needs that offences come. But woe to that man by the offences come. Now he's talking, he goes into this section, therefore, particularly about the Judas Iscariot. He's talking specifically about there. But he's also talking even here about how if your hand or foot offend you, then get rid of it, cut it off. And if there is an offence in the church, actually, the member that is offending is removed. It's not to, that member is not to say there. That's what the section talks about. But it says, verse 10, it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. So these people, the young ones within the truth, the people that, you know, really somebody who is interested in the church, somebody who comes perhaps to the church for the first time, we've got to remember who these people are. These are little ones. And certainly, I mean, to progress towards the point of baptism. Now, we have had a baptism. I don't know whether how many of you know here, but yesterday, Mr. Jew Azubike was baptized, which I'm delighted about. But, you know, in order to get to that place of baptism, there's got to be a humility there. There's got to be a certain approach, as it says here, like a little child. For these new people that are just starting to understand, their approach has got to be one of a little child. And if we offend such little children, then he says, look, hang something round your neck and go jump in the sea, because that's how serious this subject is. So the example that we set is absolutely critical. It's critical here in church. It's critical in our home, in the people round about us. It's critical particularly when we come to the feast day at time as well. And you know, today, when you're looking at, if you can put in your notes Matthew 20, where it talks about the parable of the vineyard, where the man goes out and hires people for a penny. And then right at the end of the day, he still hires people because presumably he has the need of certain people. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a number of new people in the church right at the end time, where people that should have been there aren't there, but there will be. The number of the church will be made up. So this subject is very, very important. We've got to be able to show the unity that is necessary. We're going to make sure that we are unified, that there's no schism, there's no fighting amongst us any way whatsoever. That there is actually that love that is there, one for another, which is the very character of God. We need to make sure that our children are well behaved. And, you know, we as parents need to make sure that our children are well behaved. Now, that doesn't start at the moment you come to services. That starts at home. We make sure that our children are well behaved at home, that they, if we need to have them sit for a little while, then let them sit for an hour or an hour and a half and get used to perhaps services. And rather than just when they come to services, having to start right from scratch again. So that is a very important area. The friendliness that we have. The lack of tribalism. You see, these people are not Igbo, the Yoruba. Now, I know that some of you, I can think of some of you, that during the Biafran War, that some of your brothers were actually killed by Yoruba and Hausa. You know, it's the way it was. That's what happened. That is what happened. That should have no effect. No effect whatsoever. These are the Israel of God. These are the people of God. This is, it's not whether you're Hausa, you're Yoruba, you're Igbo. It makes no difference. You're the children, the Israel of God. And we've got to make sure we understand that. So everybody, young, old, new, not so new, that have been around a long time in the church, everybody, make sure that we do have an excellent feast and put this factor of example into practice during the festival and in our daily life as well.